Hello, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. I'm the author of The Gray Brain and The Golden Soul, available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And in my show tonight, I'm going to talk about many great and wonderful things. Thank you all for tuning in to my show. I've got so much to talk about. Oh my God, I could talk for hours. But I have 1 hour, and that's enough. Not quite, but it's going to be okay. I'm going to talk about near-death experiences. I'm going to talk about extraterrestrials. Whatever comes to mind, so if I jump around a little bit, please, don't worry about that. I've got many good things to say. And so it's been a good week, this last week. A short week, you know, with the Labor Day holiday. And here in San Antonio, we missed out on the Hurricane Harvey, and that was a blessing, I'll tell you. As you all know, Houston got it. They got rained upon big time, right? Over 4 feet of rain. Check it out. And so the hurricane hit the coast, and ironically, my wife and I and my stepdaughter and two grandchildren, we went down to Corpus Christi the weekend before. Little did we know that standing there on the beach playing in the water all around there, you know, in the apartment that we rented, that 1 week later there were going to be 100 mile an hour plus winds blowing in from the hurricane, you know. So we were there just in time, and we had a great time, but I'm sorry that, you know, that area got hit by the hurricane. And then it came up north and then went to the east instead of the west. If it had come northwest, then San Antonio probably would have been, you know, flooded with water everywhere. So I'm sorry for Houston. May God bless them. They're all those affected by the storm, those who have this flood water that's ruined their homes and their lives. I've been saying prayers for them, and I made a donation. We gathered there at work. My computer is just saying it needs to be restarted. HP is poisoning. You said you were closed down. Okay, since we start later. So, yeah, we gathered all these goods, items that would be helpful, you know, as you can imagine, anything that most people would need. And then they also collected monetary donations, and so I gave. And I plan on giving some more later on. And now Hurricane Irma, right? I've been praying for the Spirit Father and the Mother, because as I mentioned in many previous shows, I believe in a Spirit Mother. And I found out that is a common belief, actually. The Mormons believe in that. The Catholics, well, they believe in the Virgin Mary, but as I've said on previous shows, there is pretty solid rationale for that. And I got into a little bit of a argument. I won't say an argument because it was all fun. There's this man that I work with. Actually, he's in another fort. I'm at Fort Sam Houston, and he's at Fort Detrick. And so we just, you know, when we talk about business stuff, well, that's not true. Every once in a while, we'll just send an email to each other and tease each other about global warming or UFOs. He believes that there is no such thing as global warming, and I do. He believes there's no such thing as UFOs and extraterrestrials, and I believe that. And so we got talking, and, you know, in our emails about a mother god, and he doesn't believe in a mother god. And so anyway, going back to mother god, I said, you know, how can it be a father without a mother? So the Spirit Father, yep, I'm sure we can all agree that the Spirit Father exists. And maybe not before, but now we realize that, hey, we're the children of God too. So God does not have, the Father does not have an only son. That's a misinterpretation of the Bible, I think, in my opinion. No, we are all the children of God. When Jesus taught us to pray on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Our Father." Case closed. Jordan fades back, shoot, swish. Game over. We are all children of God. Yes, you and I, 6 billion of them here on this earth, right? And so how would a father or a man create children without a mother or that female relationship? You know what I'm saying? Yes, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a universe, the university of the universe, of fathers and mothers, the Alpha, the Omega, the Yin, the Yang, the positive, the negative. Anyway, so back to where I was before Hurricane Irma, and I pray, we pray now, Spirit, Mother, and Father in heaven, if it is in accordance with your will, in all seriousness, please, there's a hurricane that's threatening the East Coast, Florida mainly, of the United States at this time, a Category 5 hurricane, one of the most powerful ever. If it could be in accordance with your will, please guide that hurricane away to the right, to the northeast, away from the U.S. coast, away from the Bahamas, even. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Back to another subject. What's this now? I get another software upgrade. Oh, geez. I turn my computer on and I get all these restart required. Okay, but I don't want to do a restart now. I'm trying to look at my computer. So, you all know about the near-death experience with, what's his name? Burpo. Colton Burpo, right? Heaven is for real. Well, see, my friends, what I'm trying to do is bring heaven a little closer to earth to help us evolve. We are in need of evolution. Don't you agree? You turn on the TV, there is so much negativity and violence going on. Hey, is there anything good that's going to come out of that, or is it just going to get worse? I think it is just going to get worse. I don't know what they expect to accomplish. The thing is, Hollywood is making all these movies that are very negative, very violent movies. People killing each other, being blown up, shooting each other, fights, killing. On a scale that's, you know, difficult to comprehend, really. Does that go on in the real life? This is all fantasy. And not even to mention the video games, right? So Hollywood, in all their splendor and glory, and they do good things, too. There are a lot of good movies, you know, movies for children, right? But the majority of their movies deal with fantasy, violence, or maybe true stories, a very small minority. And that is a good thing. I really like, me, Blake Ruby, likes movies that deal with true stories. Even something like Dunkirk, you know, I can take that. With all the violence and killing that went on, because it was based on fact. It really happened. I mean, I wish we wouldn't have to go through that here on Earth. When you think about it, you know, with all the different races and religions. My friends, we are all one in our spirit. We are spirit brothers and sisters, yet we kill each other. Why? Because we disagree on some subjects. Just like what I said about a mother god. Some people might say, I'm going to kill him because he says there's a mother god. What? Look, I'm not saying there's anybody out there, but I was just talking with my wife a little while ago, and she made me realize a good thing. She asked me, well, what I was going to talk about in my radio show, and I said, well, I might talk about suicide. You know, that's a pretty common thing. I always like to kind of make a few comments about that, try to get it to stop, right? I mean, we all should do our part, get the message out. I gave a speech last week at my Toastmasters Club on the subject of suicide. We can never stop doing enough to try to discourage people from doing that. You know what I'm saying? You should too. And I'll get to that after I finish up with what I was talking about in regard to Hollywood. So, there's a lot of rich and powerful people in Hollywood. And they know that us people out here, the customers who watch these movies, you and me, all of us, right? We are fixated on, obsessed with, on these violent movies. Action movies, they call them. Action, you know. They are not true. These big-time Hollywood movie stars, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, I like them, you know, they're good men, but when we think of them, we associate them with those violent action movies, right? A lot of shooting and killing. Keanu Reeves, as much as I like him, in the last John Wick movie, he killed how many? 112 men on that movie. My friends, I wouldn't want that on my soul. You killed 112 men. You're going to be haunted by them. You can't take someone's life against their own will. It's against God's will. So when you take someone's life like that, suddenly and violently, you're going to make them a ghost. Yeah. You're going to make them a ghost, and they're going to be stuck in between realms. They're going to be in the ghost dimension. You know, it's true. It really is. That's what ghosts are. Ghosts are people just like you and me, like we are now, who have died. Yeah, like we're going to die one day, but they have died suddenly and violently, and they don't know that they're dead. They find themselves in a dimension where they can still interact here in the physical world. There's some things they can't do, like touch material objects, but, and my God, I mean, you go to, like, I've seen this surfing the web, you know, surfing the channels. There's a ghost show. There's a few of them. So they go to these places, like, where the Battle of Gettysburg was, and, oh, wow, there's still the spirits of these Confederate soldiers or Union soldiers still haunting these locations because they don't know they're dead. They're in this spirit land and they're not evolving. They're stuck in there. And so my point is, if you take somebody's life, like my father did in World War II, you will be haunted by their ghosts. Yeah, it is true. So, follow the commandment that God gave us. And I say God, I mean the Spirit, Mother, and Father, the Godhead, the combination of the two, or the Supreme Creator of the universe, whose intent was for us to be co-creator gods like him. Yes, I'm talking about the Supreme Creator, the Big Bang, the first solar system forming, the great central sun of the universe, one solar system after another, one galaxy after another. And we're here in the Milky Way galaxy, many billions of years from the center of the universe, living our lives, rotating on the planet at 600 miles an hour, revolving around our sun, which is heavy. Yes, you heard me correctly. I said heavy because it is the spirit world. It is a world of light. It is the fire of God. It is a nuclear fire, a very special fire. And when we die, our spirits leave our body. Our spirits are made of light energy, and our spirits can live in any fire, whether it's the fire of the sun or maybe the fire beneath the surface of the earth in that place known as hell, where there's lava, molten lava, and it's a very rotten place down there that smells rotten. That's God's jail. That's where the really bad people go for rehabilitation. God's jail. Yes, there are snakes and spiders crawling around, worms that will eat into your flesh, because the spirit also maintains those similar physical attributes of the body. The spirit body can feel pain. The spirit body does not drink or eat, does not have bodily functions, but it has very similar characteristics. So, anyway, here we are in an amazing situation, my friend, traveling through space, revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And why is all this? Because we're evolving. And we are in need of help. We are. We need to bring heaven closer, so to speak, to earth. We need to talk about good things. We need to fill our lives with light, because our spirits are, as I mentioned, of light energy, made of light energy. When we die and our spirits come out of our physical bodies, they will shine like a light bulb. And so one of our missions here on earth is to increase that light. Yes, to shine bright. Shine the bright like a diamond. Like a diamond. Yeah. You understand? And the way that we can increase our light is to listen to BBS radio and all the great shows on it. That's one way. There's many books out there that you can buy in bookstores, on the internet, that deal with spirituality. I'm not talking about religion, although religion is good. I'm talking about subjects of the spirit. I'm not talking about a money-making business, although, like I said, religion is a stepping stone to where you want to go. The evolution, my friends, evolve. We need to evolve. We don't need to be a part of a cult, so to speak, which religion is like, in a way, very narrow in its thinking. Can't think outside the box. Not willing to accept anything different than what they've been told in a simple, single book, which was written 2,000 years ago. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Bible. It contains much wisdom. But it doesn't give a lot of details about things I want to know, and I think everyone wants to know. I just have to let the dog in. But I'm not harping about the Bible. My point is, as I said, I respect the Bible, but I don't think it has all the answers so that we can evolve and develop ourselves spiritually, which is what we need to do. Yeah. Yeah. I'm standing here in my patio, my friends. I'm looking out. The sun is setting. It's a very beautiful day. The weather has cooled down. You know, since Hurricane Harvey, amazingly, that seems to have ushered in a different kind of weather. And now the heat of the summertime, the 100-degree temperatures have been replaced by cooler temperatures, especially at night. And we'll get down in the 60s tonight. I came out the other night, and I would think for the first time since maybe May or April, it was actually cool, very cool, almost cold out here in my back patio. I came out to get our big dog. He was out here barking at the moon. And, you know, we were trying to sleep upstairs, and he likes to come out here sometimes in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and just barking away. You know, there's coyotes out back behind our house in the 24-acre park behind our backyard. And also there's wild pigs. In fact, our big dog, Chaka, the black lab, who weighs about 130 pounds, he got gored by a huge wild pig back there in December of 2015, I think. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And my wife was out walking back there with our four dogs, him and the other three. And all of a sudden, that wild hog came out of nowhere and just rushed him. And, you know, they have very sharp tusks and teeth. And he gored Chaka in his right flank. Put a nasty gash there that required, I think it was about 20 stitches. Cost $700, you know, the bed. Anyway, so getting back to movies, Hollywood does make some good movies, like Heaven is for Real. You know, we need more of those movies. Hollywood, if you're out there, please, make more movies about near-death experiences. There are so many. And with all the modern special effects technology that you have, you can make some great movies. You know, there's many, many beautiful experiences out there, very profound near-death experiences, which are just not fantasy. You know, these people, they don't make them up. They don't do it so that they can get fame and fortune. I'm going to talk about that in just a little while. But Heaven is for Real, for example. An amazing book, right? So this young boy, Colton Burpo, how old is he at the time? Maybe 3-4 years old. He has this near-death experience, right? He gets sick and he almost dies, right? He almost dies. People are dying all the time. Oh, my God. But he almost dies, and he has this near-death experience. He goes to heaven. He meets Jesus. He meets his father, his grandfather, whom he'd never met in the physical life, you know? And then he met his sister, who had been miscarried. And there's no way he could have known about her. So when he came back, and he said to his mother, "Mom, I met my sister," and he already had a sister, and she said, "You mean your sister?" And he said, "No, I mean my other sister, the one who died in your tummy." And she said, "How did you know that?" She didn't tell him, right? He said, "When I was in heaven, this young girl came up to me and threw her arms around me and kept hugging me. And she said that she died in your tummy." And so I was like, "Wow, oh my God, what more proof do you need, you know? I mean, that little boy did not make that up." So if you're an Einstein, if you pride yourself, I know a lot of people think they're very smart, right? If you pride yourself on your intelligence, there is irrefutable evidence that heaven does exist, only that you don't think of it very often because you're more concerned with your daytime activities. What am I going to eat next, you know? What am I going to do? How am I going to spend my money? Very little time to think about God, the Creator, who created your soul and spirit, who created this planet, who created our galaxy, and who, in accordance with the Supreme Creator's master plan, is allowing this universe of ours to expand and grow all the time. The borders of infinite space are out there, my friend, and are expanding all the time. New solar systems are being formed as we speak. New suns are coming alive. A nuclear fire is being born in their cores as we speak. That's right, new suns. And then planetary bodies like our planet are being formed. Dust, rock gathers, swirls around. It coalesces, and it gets larger and larger and larger. And then a planet is formed, and then life is put into that planet. Maybe not all, like our with our solar system. The planets of our solar system are not just useless pieces of rock or gas. They were created with a purpose. There is a divine purpose for each and every planet in our solar system. Just because we are the only ones that we know have life, and guess what? Surprise, there are other planets out there in our solar system that have life. Yes, it's true. It just hasn't been proven by NASA or science yet. But it's as simple as this, my friend. You might say, seeing is believing. But the fact is that believing is seeing. You have to bridge the gap between belief and knowledge. Some things don't require physical proof in order for them to be true. You know what I'm saying? So yes, there is life. Actually, on one of Jupiter's moons, Ganymede, there's a race of human beings that are living there. If you want to read more about it, hear more about it, read the book, I Visited Ganymede by Josip Ibrahim. That's the author. And Europa, NASA plans to put a probe onto the surface and have it melt through the ice and go down to the hydrothermal vents, which they suspect are at the bottom of the ocean underneath the ice, and discover life there. But do we really need to do that, spend billions of dollars to prove that life exists that way, when we know that there are millions of people that have had experiences with extraterrestrials here on Earth? And we see the evidence of them having been here before in our past, from many of those incredible structures that have been built by them, to include the pyramids and the Inca ruins, the Mayas, the Aztecs. They all had extraterrestrial contact. The statues on Easter Island. Some of those buildings, statues, structures, whatever, could not have been created with the technology they had at that time, you know, because that was many thousand years ago. You're thinking, and appropriately so, that they didn't have the kind of technology we have now. They were, I mean, as we've been evolving throughout the centuries, you know, say maybe 5,000 years ago in Egypt when they created the pyramids, they could not have created them with what we know to have been the technology back then, which is, you know, moving those stones on, rolling them on logs and using ropes and lifting those stones up one on top of each other to create a pyramid with just manpower, ropes, logs, that kind of technology. It's just not possible. Any logical person would have to understand that. You know what I'm saying? Right? If you think otherwise, well, then you probably need to be educated a little bit more, evolve a little bit more, think outside the box a little bit more. No offense, you know, not everyone here on Earth is an advanced soul. There's a lot of young souls, too, newly created souls who haven't had the opportunity to reincarnate into other lives on other planets with them throughout the universe. Not all souls are equal, although all souls are equal in as much as, well, let me rephrase that. It doesn't matter if you're a young soul or an advanced soul, really, whether, you know, you've incarnated on other planets and had lives a couple hundred times, maybe, or just 10 times. What matters, and this is what I meant to say, is that you are a soul. You are a God apprentice. You are a co-creator apprentice. You will be a God one day, you will have your own solar system one day through this reincarnation process. You will reconnect with your soulmate, who you were created with by the Spirit Mother and Father, maybe not on this sun, maybe another sun throughout the universe, another heaven. Yes, it's true. And you will have your own solar system, planets, and your own spirit children, millions of them, right? It's going to be great. That sound too science fiction or fantasy-like to you? Isn't that better than turning on the TV and watching people get blown up and the threat of nuclear war and people killing each other and being so unkind to each other and fighting with each other? It's nice to hear something like on the opposite end of the spectrum, like really heavy-duty spirituality like I'm talking about. And you can believe it or not, because, you know, if it's not true, then don't worry about it. I don't. People tell me things that are contrary to what I believe. It's okay. You know, we can get into an amiable, pleasant conversation and, you know, talk back and forth. But once people start telling me about the way things are, and that I should change my belief, and they can't think outside the box or keep an open mind, or consider that maybe that is not true, you know? Like when Jesus said, "I am the light, the truth, and the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." I disagree with that. Because there's some noise in the background here. And before I explain, let me say this. I am not saying anything bad about Jesus. I don't want to. Because I believe that he is in the Spirit, in heaven right now, at the right side of the Spirit, Mother, and Father. But didn't he say that we could be like him? We could be God? How many of you that maybe I caused to stop and pause at what I just said believe that we can be like Jesus? Yes, maybe everyone, not there are some people of different religions, I know, that don't believe that Jesus did what he did, you know, that he performed all those miracles. But if he meant for us to be like him, and in our daily lives, do the things that we need to do to be more like Jesus, to be more loving, forgiving, to love our neighbors, then if you are becoming more like Jesus, can't you also say that you are the truth, the light, and the way? I say that, and it's not blasphemy. That's what they said to Jesus back then when he told them that the law of Moses was not what is true, for lack of a better way of describing it. He said, "I am bringing you a new law," right? Moses' law is no longer applicable, he told them. And they said, "Blasphemy." Oh, I couldn't believe it. Well, I personally, and I know, I think many people do, have a relationship with our Father and Mother in heaven. We can communicate directly to them without going through an intermediary. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe that Jesus' life, the study of it, is a very noble pursuit, the most noble pursuit of all, in my opinion, because what he did in those 3 years of his ministry before he died on the cross and came back to life, Yes, I believe that. And I walked around for how many days? 40? Was very special in our history. What divine intervention, my friends. What incredible divine intervention. But going back to what I said, you see what I meant now? That we can be like Jesus. We can be the light and the truth and the way. We can, maybe we'll never be like Jesus. So maybe we, actually, let me rephrase that. We can, because we are, as souls on soul journeys, meant to evolve to the point where we can be co-creator gods. And Jesus, who died on the cross and was resurrected, is going to be a co-creator god. In my opinion, he will have his own solar system and have his own heaven and his spirit children, and he'll have a soulmate there to create spirit children for all of his planet. Does that sound great, or does this sound like science fiction to you? But like I said before, isn't it good to have this kind of spiritual knowledge with so much negativity going on in the world? Yes, and there is, it's almost like a battle of good and evil going on. But it's more than that, my friends. It's more than that. I'm going to take a drink of water. The sun is coming down. I'm going to take my shirt off, too. I'm still here. I'm going to get back to near-death experiences here. People have these experiences. We are spirits in the material world, just like that song. We are spirits in the material world. So why am I doing this? Well, maybe because, why am I telling you all these things? And it might sound fantasy, crazy, science fiction, whatever you want to call it. But what if it was true? Wouldn't that make a difference? Well, let me rephrase that. I think it's true. I'm giving it to you straight. I'm shooting from the hip. I'm putting myself on the line here. You know, I'm a very logical, rational person. But when I start talking about, you know, being co-creator gods, do you believe it? Do you believe that's possible? Or do you think that when we die, that'll end just right there? Or maybe you believe in an afterlife, but then that's it. You just go back to heaven where you came from and just stay there and don't do anything. Just maybe enjoy the activities there, you know, swim in the river of life. Maybe partake in some of the feasts they have there. Meet all those great and wonderful people from our past, you know, the patriarchs of the Bible, people from all the different cultures. Muhammad might be there, Buddha. They're all praising God there. But guess what, my friend? When you get to heaven, the learning does not stop. As I mentioned before, we're living in the university of the universe. That's why it's important to realize that we are evolving from one step to another. This planet of ours is one of the lowest, it is on the lowest evolutionary scale. Although it's a very beautiful, beautiful planet, it's a wonderful world, you know, with all the life and the beautiful vegetation and the blue skies, but it has a very aggressive nature to it. Animals eat each other. We eat animals, dead animals. And also, there are 1,001 different ways to die, my friends. You think you're going to live forever? Some people do. They don't even give it much thought. Let me ask you, in the course of a regular day, from when you wake up to when you go to bed, how many times do you think about God, the Creator, who made your spirit and soul? the blessings that he's bestowed upon you in your daily life. Do I sound like a mad person? No. God, I think, the Spirit, Mother, and Father, even the Supreme Creator, has blessed me with another day. I could have died in the past many times. I was living a life, I won't go into the details, but suffice it to say, I was going nowhere. I had no direction. I was off the path, my friends. I was going down the tube, so to speak, a dead-end life. And I'm glad I didn't die, because I've been able to achieve much spiritual development. And I've learned it from people. I've read many books. What I'm telling you, most of what I've told you, what I'm telling you, is what I've learned from other people. It is pure spirituality. I am not afraid to tell you the things that I tell you. And you should be grateful for that. And I'm a revolutionary. I have a lot of courage. I'm not proud to say that. I'm a very humble person, but I'm trying to help. Take people that have committed suicide. People that are thinking of committing suicide. I'll get on that subject now. I'll get back to near-death experiences of a positive kind. I'm going to talk about near-death experiences of people in Hollywood. So with the speech I gave last week at my Toastmasters Club, I talked about suicide. We all need to get the word out. It's each and every one of ours responsibility to let people know that suicide is against God's will. In fact, if you take your own life, if someone takes their own life, they're going to come face to face with an angry Creator. He is angry. He does not want, and yes, he can get angry. He does not want his children to throw in the towel because they think their lives are too hard and they don't have the resources to get out of the holes that they've dug themselves into. And so they think by killing themselves, they're going to end the pain that they've been through, the depression that they've been through. Well, let me tell you, my friend, if you take your life and pass this on, please, place where you're going to go, just like what happened with Angie Fenimore in the book Beyond the Darkness. Yes, she took pills and she popped out of her body. Her body died. Just like your body, my body, her body, it died. The heart stopped beating. She stopped breathing. Yes, it happened. And so she went to a place where she was among other suicides. Yeah. Other people who committed suicide. And guess what? There's a lot of teenagers committing suicide these days. And so they go to this place where they're sorted. It's like a sorting area. And then she was transported by some incredible unseen power to a dark, dark plane, a huge, huge plane, like a field, where there were thousands and thousands of suicides. And if you think, anyone thinks that they have pain here on earth and they're going to take their life and end that pain, well, surprise, guess what? Sorry to burst your bubble. The truth is they're going to be in more pain there. It's going to be at least twice as bad. Yeah, that's true. It's going to be worse than here. There are many ways to get over it. Despite what you might think, I believe in the Bible as a book of great wisdom. Reading the Bible can help someone to get in touch with his or her Creator, Spirit, Mother, and Father, learn about universal truth, what's out there. Look up the stars at night, which are really suns and solar systems. There is a huge unexplored frontier for us, that is, awaiting us there. We are like the world used to be 500 years ago. They thought the world was flat, right? They thought that the Earth was at the center of the solar system, the universe, and everything revolved around it. People, just like you and me, who lived back then, they thought that, they believed that. And now we're stuck in a gap where we don't know if there's life out there. We can't, our science hasn't proven it. But I know, my friend, I can say I know. And all I can do to try to prove that to you is say, deep down in your soul, you know that the omnipotent God, capable of creating anything, all these different bodies here on Earth, all the different animal life, you know, the insects, the amphibians, the mammals, the reptiles, the fish, the birds, thousands and thousands of different little bodies with eyes, some with wings, metabolisms that can eat food and defecate and reproduce, tiny little bodies like a fly or a hornet or praying mantis or centipede or beetle or a hummingbird or a giraffe, a hippopotamus, a horse, a tiger, a wolf, all those amazing bodies, each one incredible beings, I mean, with hearts that beat independently, you know, lungs that breathe and purify the blood. The creator creates, I mean, you should know, if you had half a brain, you know, no offense, you should know that the creator can create anything. And if the creator can create anything, the creator can create anything anywhere, anywhere in the universe. If there's other planets like ours. We just haven't discovered them. Doesn't mean they didn't exist. Like when Columbus Day, they didn't know that the United States existed, right? They hadn't discovered it. That didn't mean it wasn't there, right? So eventually they did discover the United States, right? But because they didn't think, they didn't see it before, it didn't mean it wasn't there and it didn't exist. You get my point? You get the point? What I'm saying? And so, near-death experiences. Let me read something to you from the internet. There's a great website called neardeath.com. All kinds of really incredible near-death experiences. People just like you and me. And you know what? Probably more important than anything, it changes their life. And they're not doing it for fame or fortune. This really happens to them. You know, people that get into car accidents, you know, that have different kinds of situations where they die. You can imagine that there's hundreds of different scenarios where someone can die. But let me read this from the internet, neardeath.com, near-death experiences of the Hollywood, rich and famous. The near-death experiences of the rich and famous are particularly interesting. They're rolling in the money, and they're known all over the world. They're often very beautiful, very articulate, and very talented in what they do. With this in mind, why would such a person reveal to the world that they died and came back from the dead? What would be their motive? Money? They're already rolling in that. Fame? They're already famous. In fact, by telling the world they rose from the dead, don't they risk losing their fame and fortune? Logically, yes. Not to mention their reputation. People who reveal such things about themselves are frequently thought to be crazy. So why would a rich and famous person subject themselves to such possible negative press when they have so much to lose, right, my friends? The only rational reason, okay, is that they are telling the truth. It really did happen to them. Just like near-death experiences who are not rich and famous, like Colton Burpo. They are imbued with a mission, like me. Yeah, that's why I've got my show. That's why I'm talking to you right now. God wants me to do this. Why? Because our world is in need of help, my friends. We're on the brink of nuclear war, and you think everything's roses and no problem whatsoever going on here? Think of all the negative video games, too. And this war is going on. We're still engaged in a war in Afghanistan. We just got out of Iraq. And you still think that everything's okay? Now is the time for spirituality, my friends, and that's what I am doing with my show, BBS Radio. A shout out to them. May God bless BBS Radio and help them. God, please bless BBS Radio. You have a lot of great, wonderful, beautiful people out there that have their shows, that believe what they want to believe in. I know that I might be kind of going against what some of them believe when it comes to the Bible, but they can believe what they want to believe. That's fine. I just ask that they allow me to believe what I want to believe, and don't hurt me, please. You know, don't harm me, because, you know, in the past, how the wars, a lot of wars have been fought by the different religions, right? The I forget what it was called, you know, with Christianity 600-700 years ago. There was much fighting. There still is fighting going on, ladies and gentlemen, over disagreements with religion. You know, you have the different religions, Christianity, Muslim, Hindu, Buddha, Buddhists, you know, and different types. There's so many different types. And they're money-making businesses, too. But I'm not trying to knock them. I'm just saying, look up into the sky at night. Don't be closed-minded. There's a huge universe out there. There's only one truth, and that is universal truth. Fact is, my friend, we're living in a universe with many, many other species of extraterrestrials out there that aren't here right now because there's some people who still want to keep on fighting and killing. And why should they reveal themselves to us, have contact with us, when we're a species that looks like we're capable of destroying each other? Doesn't it look like that? With what's going on with North Korea and Mr. Trump, you know, I love Mr. Trump, may God bless him, but some of that rhetoric, you know, back and forth, I mean, how easy is it for one of them to press the button and say, you know, he made me mad, you know, I'm so mad now, I don't care if I wipe out 200, 300,000 men, women, and children, you know, right? So now is the time for spirituality. We have to develop each other also. We have to help each other. We have to help grow each other's light. Remember what I said about the spirit? The spirit is made of light energy. The spirit is inside you. Grow your light. When you come face to face with the spirit mother and father in heaven, you're going to notice that their light is so bright. It shines brighter than the sun. It's a powerful light. Because why? Because they have grown their light. They have, from their own soul journeys, when they were like you and I, evolving, incarnating one life after the other, getting to the point where their light is incredibly, incredibly bright. That is where the action is, my friends. Grow your light. Develop yourself spiritually. Listen to BBS Radio. Listen to TBN on television. Even though they talk about the Bible, I mean, they're kind of narrow focused on the Bible, and they still, you know, can't think outside the box, or they don't talk about too many details, and they're kind of limited in that way, you know. They have to conform, but it's better than some of the other stuff that's out there. You know, all the negativity, violence, war, killing, all these movies, you know, and I'm guilty of having seen those movies. So, and I probably will see some more in the future. I don't like them, but sometimes maybe I should just boycott them altogether. But So Hollywood, as I was reading to you, there's a lot of people that have had near-death experiences in Hollywood. I'll give you some names. Tracy Morgan, Jane Seymour, Peter Sellers, Elizabeth Taylor, Robert Pastorelli, Sharon Stone, Gary Busey, Larry Hagman, Tony Bennett, Donald Sutherland, Eric Estrada, Burt Reynolds, Chevy Chase, Eric Roberts, George Lucas, Ozzy Osbourne, Nikki Sixx, Roy Horn, Jeremy Kagan, Ronald Reagan, Johnny Cash, George Foreman, Elvis Presley. They have all had near-death experiences. So I'm going to eat some food here. My stomach is well. My wife made some soup. It's good. It's a lot of vegetables. By the way, I'm a vegan. And I've been a vegan since 1999. For me, I'll tell you, my friends, I'll tell you the truth. For me, I'm not saying for you, because you have free will. I recognize that. My spiritual development has taken leaps and bounds over those years since I've been a vegan. Because my body is digesting food a lot better. And, you know, there's the ethical thing about animals, too. But I'm smart enough to realize that you have your own lives. You have free will. God said, made a promise to each and every one of us. Hey.
About 10 seconds. Come here. About 10 seconds.
I have to end up here, my friends. I'll continue this in the next show. So here's a prayer, a quick prayer. May God, our spirit mother and father in heaven, soulmate, creators of our soul and spirit, please bless us. Help us not to destroy each other. Please, I ask you with sincerity. We need help. We need your help. Please change the hearts of those people that lead us, that influence us, to do your will, just like we want you to do. Just like you want us to do your will. Please protect us. Guide us in our daily lives. When we think about you, we think of how great and amazing and wonderful and awesome you are. You know, giving you praise is what it's all about. When we get to heaven, we will praise you continuously. And we ask that you guide us to continue to do that praising now, to learn more about how to praise you and our fellow human beings here on earth. To learn to praise, period. That's what we need to do. We love you. Thank you for loving us, Spirit Mother and Father. And thank you, Supreme Creator, for the universe and the miracles of all creation. This is Blake Ruby, the author of The Great Brain, The Golden Soul Thing. Until the next show, take care. I love you. May God bless you. Bye-bye.